When we pull into the Bennington's Drive, the first thing I notice is the Filipino man in a white jacket walking a poodle around the fountain. The second is that there are at least 15 cars parked on the gravel. How do you throw together an impromptu barbecue for 15 families when the Benningtons left the club only minutes before us? As we walk through the white gate at the side of the house to the pool area, the answer becomes apparent. You call the house on your cell phone and mobilize your staff. I stand there, absorbing the realization that there is no way my wedding is going to be as nice as this informal little barbecue. It's not just that the impeccably manicured lawn goes right down to the water, or that everything is in full bloom, or that another man in a white jacket is tending bar, serving ice cubes that all have grapes frozen in them, while a third flips filet mignon burgers. It's not even that the tables with starched floral tablecloths have been set up all over the lawn. What finally gets me are the watermelons sculpted into the busts of former presidents. I am startled by Grayer, fully revived from the contraband can of Coke his dad absentmindedly handed him, dumping a hot dog on my foot. He has ketchup all over himself, including his Lacoste shirt. I couldn't be more pleased. Come on, Grover, let's get you another dog. He and I eat our lunch, and then I sit nursing a vodka tonic while he runs around the lawn with the other kids. By now, I know better than to talk to any of the guests. I see the Horners arrive with an attractive tan woman in tow. Caroline brings her over to meet Mrs. X while Jack takes the girls to the grill. I watch with curiosity as Mrs. X switches herself on, her hands going to her pearls, her face a mask of compassion. This must be Caroline's divorcee friend from California. After a few minutes, Mrs. X loses steam, holds up her empty glass to signal her need for a refill, and departs. Jack joins the two women, bringing with him a hot dog and Mr. X. The foursome engage in animated conversation for some time until Lulu skips over and pulls her parents away. Mr. X and the blonde woman start to walk over to where I'm sitting. I quickly slump down in the chair and close my eyes. Not that Mr. X could pick me out of a lineup. "Well," I hear him say as they pass by, "I have season tickets, so if you'd like to go." "Doesn't your wife go with you?" she asks. "She used to, but she's so wrapped up with our son lately." "Your who?" I sit back up to check if Mrs. X has noticed her husband's stroll down to the water, but she's embroiled with Mrs. Longacre. My pocket starts to vibrate. I pull Mr. X's phone out and try to switch it off without spilling my drink, hitting buttons at random. "Hello?" I hear a voice call out from my palm. "Hello?" I instinctively raise the phone to my ear. "Who is this?" a woman's voice demands. "Nanny," I say. There's no need to ask who she is. "Nanny," she sounds like she's crying. "Is he there?" "No," I say, craning my neck to see down to the water, but Mr. X and his new friend have disappeared. "I'm sorry, look, I've got to go." "No, don't hang up, please. Please just tell me where he is," she begs tearfully. I crane my head around. "Wait a sec." I hold the phone down low at my hip and walk swiftly up to the house and into the first French door off the porch. I close it shut behind me, keeping Grayer in my gaze. I take a deep breath before lifting the phone back up to my ear. "Look, I'm not really sure what to tell you." "What is he still doing up there? He won't answer his phone. He's... I don't know what to say. Playing tennis and eating donuts." "But he hates her. He hates going away with her. He can't be having fun." "Well, yeah, he doesn't really seem to be having fun." "Really?" she asks. I look out the window at the party, such as it is. Balding, paunchy men and their second or third wives who are just biding time till their next peel or tuck, all oblivious to their children running back and forth on the lawn, savoring a few minutes away from their monsters, and the nannies, all sitting quietly on the damp grass awaiting their next order. "Look, I just have to ask, because you seem so intent on being here. What is it here that you want? What about any of this is appealing to you?" I gesture out at the window. "You don't know what you're talking about. What are you, 18? Her tone changes as she sobers up from her crying jag. "I don't see how any of this is your business." Oh, you know what? I don't think this is any of my business either." I want to hurl the phone through the window. "How much more of my problem could you have made this? Having a covert affair, okay, means nobody knows about it. You do not get to have a crew of little helpers." I stare at the phone. "Are you still there?" "Yes." "Well, for whatever it's worth, I've been in here for 9 months, as in as a girl could get, and I can tell you, there is nothing good here. But I... And don't think it's all her, either, because it's not. She was you once, you know. So you can play all the Cole Porter you want, turn the heat up as high as it will go, but in the end, you'll spend your life chasing him down just like everybody else in that apartment. I look back out the window at the children playing tag on the lawn. My, she says. That's quite an impressive moral analysis from a girl who stole $800 from me. Suddenly, Grayer trips and goes flying through the air. My breath catches, and it seems to take hours for him to land. Are you listening? She asks. Hello? Nanny? I said I fully expect... What? Do I have to say it in Spanish? Get out of this relationship while you still have a pulse. And this advice is worth way more than $800, so you just consider us even. I click the phone shut. There is an interminable pause and then a blood-curdling wail. The entire party is struck silent. No one moves. I run out to the porch and down onto the lawn. I weave through the immobile linen shifts and khaki pants, locating Mrs. X in the parting crowd. Nanny! He cries. Mrs. X gets there first. Nanny! She tries to bend down to him, but he strikes out at her and flings his bleeding arm around my legs. No! I want Nanny! I sit down on the grass and pull him onto my lap. Mrs. Bennington comes over with the first aid kit. Here, why don't you let Mommy take a look at it, I say. He holds out his arm, allowing her to bandage it, but curls his face away from her into my shoulder. Where's my husband? She suddenly asks, scanning the crowd just as Mr. X rounds the hedge grove with his arm around Caroline's friend. They're both a little flushed and clearly hadn't been anticipating that all eyes would be on them when they returned.